In our study of the Gospel of Matthew, we are considering together the denial of Peter. For as we mentioned to you, one of the key things in the story that is recorded concerning the arrest, arraignment, and crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ is related to Peter. We said that Peter denied the Lord just as you or I might deny him, and there were several reasons why he did. One of them was that he had to cope with a personal devil, and we discovered that the devil has a deep passion to lay hold of believers, to tempt them to sin. And we learned that the devil has passion to tempt men to sin, but really has no power over them, because the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Satan himself. And we should recognize as well, we touched upon it briefly, that Satan can not do anything against the believer save through the permission of God. In the book of Job, we have the story of the devils appearing in the council chambers of heaven as angels gathered together for council meetings. And the devil, though we may not always understand the reason for it, was permitted to appear in these council chambers from time to time. And God said to Satan, "Where have you been?" And the devil said, "Going about up and down throughout the earth." Evidently, he was saying that he was investigating the faithfulness of men toward God, because God immediately said to him, "Are you considering my servant Job? You're looking for someone who is true to me. You don't believe that anyone is? What about my servant Job in the land of Uz?" And the devil, you recall, said the only reason he is serving you is because it pays. If you lifted up your hand against him, he would turn against you immediately. We call your attention to verse 12. "The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." What is this? Satan said, "Well, I've been watching Job, but the only reason that Job is serving you, God, is because it pays." And God said, "Is that so?" "Why, of course," said Satan. "If you, God, would put forth your hand and touch him, if you would let some unpleasant thing come into his life, there would be a different story to tell about his faithfulness." And may I pause long enough to say that it grieves me to say it, but that so often this is true. So many of us are fair-weather Christians. We are quite content to serve the Lord when things go well, but when things get tough, then we are ready to turn our backs on God. But God knew his men, and he knew Job, and God said, "He's my child, Job is, and I don't ever hurt my children. But in order to prove that you are wrong, I will give you permission to do what you want to with his property. But don't you lay a hand on him." A little bit later, God gave Satan permission to lay his hand on the body of Job. But he put the restriction, "Don't kill him." Are you getting the message today, my friend? There is no temptation possible in your life save that which is there by the permission of God. Nothing happens in your life, regardless of how serious it may be, except God gives permission. And so when the trial comes, remember, God knows all about it, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. We began thinking about the things that brought about Peter's denial, and we said, of course, and we have seen that he had to deal with a personal devil. But I would like to suggest to you that one of the reasons why that his coping with the devil was more serious than it might otherwise have been is because he had been countenancing, he had been permitting certain things in his life which should not be in the life of any believer. And those things gave the devil something with which to work. Now, I would not to suggest to you that these are the only things with which the devil could work, but I suggest to you that they are the things which the Spirit of God has been pleased to call to our attention in this particular story. Will you notice what is recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verse 33? This is the story of the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had just said, every man in my company will stumble because of me tonight. And Peter said there in verse 33, though all men shall be offended, though all men shall stumble, though all men shall fail because of thee, yet I will never fail. Though all men disappoint you, Jesus, I will never disappoint you. Though all men are so weak that they will fall into this pit, I will not. I'm different. I'm above that. I'm beyond that. How miserably Peter failed. Jesus said to him in this very paragraph, verily I say unto you that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now why was it that Peter was such an easy prey for the devil? Because of this statement right here. And we can describe it in one word, and that is the word pride. The Spirit of God had already enunciated the principle which Paul was pleased to record in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, that we all should make a part of our lives. In that portion of the word, 1 Corinthians verse chapter 10, verse 12, the Spirit of God wrote, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I do not know any better advice I could give you today, my friend, than that. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Some of you sit in your ivory tower of self-righteousness and condemn individuals who have fallen into all kinds of sin, and you say, I would never be guilty of that. Watch out. God said you may be guilty of that. The moment you think you are not capable of doing something like that, that is the very moment you could fall. I know of parents who sit in their ivory towers of self-righteousness and bask in the reflected glory of the clean living of their children and speak critically of the children of other parents, and they say, my child would never do that. My daughter would never do that. Well, wait a moment, please. Listen to the words of God in the book of Proverbs. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Think about that. Whatever you may think today that you are incapable of doing in the area of sin, I would remind you, my friend, you are capable. You had better be on your guard, for that roaring lion is going about seeking whom he may devour. And when you feel that your children are above the sins of other people's children, let me remind you today that haughty spirit can bring about the downfall of your children, and you may need a sifting process in your own life. And Satan may decide that he wants your child not only to sift him, but to sift you. And if you are not aware of this practice of the devil, you will, in the midst of your ivory tower of self-righteousness, bathe your bed in tears, tears of disappointment, disappointment in your child, and disappointment in God, because he let it happen to you. The pride of Peter gave the devil something with which he could work. But there was something else that gave the devil power over Peter. I call it the prayerlessness of Peter. Satan could not have gotten as far with Peter as he did had it not been for pride. He could not have gotten as far as he did had it not been for the prayerlessness of Peter as well. Keep in mind what we have already read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray. If Peter had been prayed up, as we used to say in old-time religious meetings, he would have been better able to battle the devil. One of the ways that you and I can battle Satan, even now, is with the weapon of prayer. Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 13th verse, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." After you've donned the whole armor of God, said the apostle, then take out the weapon of prayer, praying always, praying all the time, praying with all kinds of prayer. Pray, pray, pray. If you would withstand Satan today, if you would have your children withstand them, then, my friend, pray for them, for the secret lies in prayer. Can you remember that today? If you can, then you will have a great weapon of victory in your hands over Satan. God can give you that victory.